From the Midas of Roseburg studio, KQEN weather, sunny today with a high near 60 with increasing clouds tonight and 33. Tomorrow, partly sunny also following morning fog, 64. Tomorrow night, clear and 39. It's currently 54. KQEN News Time, 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by the Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, another check-in with one of our lawmakers here from Douglas County, representing part of Douglas County, part of Lane County as well, State Representative Cedric Hayden. One of the Republicans to leave the state in the case of House members, that was yesterday. Cedric, just how quickly did that all come together?
So actually very quickly, over the weekend, and of course this is our fourth week here of the legislative session, the short session. We've got another week to go after this potentially. But basically the cap and trade bill was amended last weekend with some significant changes, came through the Ways and Means Natural Resources Committee, which I sit on. They amended it again in that committee without a public hearing on the amendment. My colleague, Vicki Breeze-Iverson, myself, and our leader, Christine Drazen, wrote a letter and said, hey, that wasn't the process. You can, but you shouldn't. Just because they can doesn't mean they should. Do some significant amendments on that bill with no public hearing. They did, after that, they did back off and have a short public hearing a couple of nights later, but the amendment had already passed. So it was kind of retroactively, we'll give you a little hearing, but, we're doing it anyway. And that kind of was what got this spinning into effect. And then, of course, that teed it up to go to the full Ways and Means. We saw some different approaches there as far as who can sit on the committee and whether you're within the rules or whether you can or whether that doesn't meet with the rules. And of course, depending on who's interpreting that, you might get a different interpretation, but it also comes back to, when you put an additional member on there to get an outcome that you want, maybe you can argue that it's within the rules. Those on the other side would argue that it's not within the rules. But just because you can or you think you can doesn't mean you should. And so that kind of catalyzed the Senate to walk out. The House side of it, we continued to stay for that day, and we convened that evening and had a discussion of what we think is the best approach for our constituents, the people that we represent. That is the job that we're hired to do. And we came to the conclusion that supporting the Senate in this and bringing, the awareness to Oregonians that this cap and trade is the reason that we're standing up. So we decided and made a decision through our leadership, again, Leader Drazen, to support the walkout, and that's where we're at today.
So just how quickly, once you sort of hit the point yesterday morning, did everybody go? I mean, was everybody pretty much set to go?
So we had some pretty good indication that we were the Senate, I think they probably had more internal talks. I'm just guessing. I don't know. And were prepared to go right after that. The House didn't have a cap and trade bill on our schedule. And so we didn't feel like we needed to go that day right after the full Ways and Means of it. So we did have a good conversation that night. And later that night, we did get confirmation that it was a go. So I had a few hours to get to a state line. Keep in mind that getting to the state line or getting out of state, in my opinion, is a courtesy to our public safety officers, our state police, because when if and when there is a call for us to be returned by the governor or by the presiding officers, Tina Kotek, President Peter Courtney, if they call for that and the state police basically reaches out to our leadership and say, where are your members? And if they're out of state, you know, that's something that they most likely aren't going to pursue. So it doesn't, it basically, in my opinion, puts them in a position that is more comfortable for the public safety officers if that were to be initiated. So far, I haven't heard that it has been initiated.
It's an interesting situation. Now, Dallas Heard told me yesterday that, at least in the case of the Senate folks that he is around, that generally people didn't even tell their colleagues where they were going, just to have sort of that safety valve. If their colleague didn't know, they couldn't be, you know, forced or asked to tell them where somebody else was, for instance.
And that's true with our caucus. I do not know where any of my other members are. I know where my wife is, and I know where my three younger children are, which happens to be in a truck stop parking lot that they're having lunch in the truck stop right now. I packed up our fifth wheel camper, or our travel trailer, actually, my wife, our school books for the kids. I am working this week as a substitute teacher because all three of my kids are still in a public school. So we're covering that duty. I am sitting under a shade tree here with my computer opened, and my job now is going through all of the healthcare policy bills, which I've done this morning, of what would technically still be alive in the building, and consulting with my leadership of what's there and working through the ways and means, because I'm on the human services ways and means budget. So I'm still working through that. So our computers are up. We are working. Our staff are in place. We're answering phone calls, emails. And so we're probably actually working more time right now because of what's going on than if we were in, you know, regular situation back in Salem.
So with the House walkout as well, what does that do for the Democrats and the one lone Republican? I mean, are committee meetings still taking place? What's going on?
So, yes, they still have the authority. So the way this is set up, the quorum requirements do take place at the committee level also. However, the majority is able to, with the exception of the new Capital Culture Committee, which is the rules have that as a 50-50 balance, and that's kind of a new committee to deal with the workings and the human resources and sexual harassment, things like that, that have been unfortunately prevalent in the Capitol in that conversation. So there's a new committee to deal with that. With the exception of that committee, all the other committees' members are assigned by the presiding officer. On the House side, that's Speaker Kotek. On the Senate side, that's President Courtney. So they assign those members, and they could assign the minority to have a majority on that committee, but they don't. And so just because of the nature of the way that they do that, they have quorums in those committees, whether we're in the building or not, because the quorum is only to that committee, not to the global conversation of who is in the building. So yes, they can, and they are continuing with committee hearings that they see fit without the Republicans in the building. The only thing that we are able to stop and say, wait a minute, we've got to have some input here, is the floor where we can. And constitutionally, we have the right. And of course, if you go back in time about 20 years, the Democrats that are in leadership now, the majority that are in leadership now, have used this tool. We are currently using this tool. And so we can deny them the floor session, but we can't deny them committee hearings.
So does that mean then that legislation can be talked about and passed out of a committee, but at that point, it's stalled until and if the Republicans return?
Yeah, so they can create legislation. They can write what they call legislative concepts, which they're doing. They can turn those, have those first read, turn those into bills, and they can run them through committee, and they can tee them up for the House or the Senate floor. They cannot vote on them on the Senate floor. without a quorum. And so that is a single member. They are missing a single member on the House for a quorum, assuming all their members are there, and they're missing a single member on the Senate currently to be able to do that. So, yes, they can tee up whatever they would like to do during this time, and we are watching that.
Now, the governor, I think it was late yesterday, maybe early this morning, as, of course, the posturing from both sides of the aisle goes back and forth, was talking about the situation over in Pendleton with some flood funds and saying that it might not be able to be authorized. And it sounds like that has shifted now, and the governor is going to make some kind of declaration. How much does this walkout impact other things that are kind of in flux at the moment, aside from things like cap and trade?
So, of course, I'm vice chair of healthcare, so that's kind of my area. And we are working now, leadership on the House Republican side with our members to lay out and get a concise list to our leadership team, which I'm on with Representative Drazen. And we have 12 policy healthcare bills from the House Healthcare Committee that are in discussion at this point, some of which have been on the House floor, but with the Senate side. And we've got three from our mental health or behavioral health committee. And then we've got the Ways and Means budget ask. We have been very clear with our leadership that we would like to get these budget items put forward first. We discussed this, I believe, last week in our conversation. We want to get the budget items first so that we can deal with that. That's what the short session is there for. We've repeatedly made that request. Now, the majority leadership decided to hold those back, even though we've had the Ways and Means hearing, we've had the budget asked. They are teed up. They're ready to be. They could have been on the floor, both the House and the Senate. They've chose to hold that and fast track the cap and trade, and it just depends on which side of the aisle you come from. Is that the majority leader putting their cap and trade policy against the needs of the budget and putting the, recovery funds or funds for the Pendleton flooding area? I mean, that's just disingenuous to say we're going to withhold those funds because of, the being denying quorum. She certainly has within her right to make a executive order emergency declaration to deal with that. That does not have to be handled and using quorum denial for that. I actually haven't seen that she changed her mind on that yet, but I have been, in our legislative policy wonky stuff here. So, she certainly doesn't need to do that. And they're trying to make the argument that without us being in the building, that we are stopping all this budget stuff. And we are making the argument that all we're asking them to do is let our constituents, let Oregonians have a voice in a major, major policy for a short session. And if they don't change the policy at all, at least let them vote on that. And that's all we're asking for. And so we think it's a supermajority that has decided to use that those critical items as leverage, and we think that's the wrong policy.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. State Representative Cedric Hayden. More when we come back in part two, the interview podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1248 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1250 News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson Show coming at 1. Later, KQEN Local Talk at 4. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show with the Commissioner of Dirt, State Representative Cedric Hayden, joining us from outside the boundaries of Oregon as part of the Republican walkout. How much are you able to communicate with the Democratic leadership while you're out of the state?
So, we are in great communication with each other. Kind of the layout is our spokesman is our leader, Representative Drazen. And so she is the point of contact with the Democrat leadership, and she put out a statement this morning saying that she is open. The lines of communication are open for Speaker Kotek, for President Courtney, and for the governor to be in contact with her. She then takes that information and has a briefing call with the leadership team on the House side every morning, which I am on that call. And then we have kind of that team splits up our members. I have certain members assigned to me to check in with and them to either check in directly with leadership or with me directly and what we're working on. And then we have a afternoon call where we all talk together and inform each other. So there is great communication going on amongst us. There's communication going on between individual members and members of the Senate. And I don't know where a single one of those is, except myself. And so the communication really is open, is transparent. And I want to stress that, you know, my staff is on the job, both of them, on the emails. About 80% of the emails, and we're getting hundreds and hundreds of them, are in support. And 100% of those emails in support are coming from individual members, meaning somebody or individual people that sat down and actually typed that email. The 20% that we're coming from are from a centralized IP address that are pre-booked or pre-made and sent out basically as a spam email. So we're receiving great support right now.
Now, are your staff remaining in Salem?
My staff will be back and forth between Salem. They are working remotely in district right now, so they're available to be in district. They are available to be in Salem if they need to. But because my staff drive, we carpool. They drive with me every day to Salem, and it's a little over 80 miles. They are working at our in-district office during this time unless they need, and they will be if they need to be there. But the phones are forwarded directly to there, the email's there, so everything available to them in Salem is available to them in the in-district office.
Now, during the last session, we had the GOP senators walk out. You in the House remained, when the senators came back, there was a flurry of getting through a lot of bills very quickly. But with both chambers absent of the Republicans, if something is worked out before the end of the 35 days to where both of the chambers, Republicans, will come back, is it possible to get through everything during the time that might be remaining?
Well, yes. The answer to that is yes. And legislation, if it is legislation that is agreed to, can move through with rule suspension very, very, very quickly. Within a day or two period of time, a lot of legislation can be moved. You know, we're talking about 200 bills in the building. Those could be moved in a couple of days if they need to be done. Although, you know, the message here is, I think, both with the Senate and the House now participating in denying this quorum, that we are serious about not coming back if we don't get concessions for our constituents, which basically boils down to the singular ask that we've had: let the voters have a vote on this. And you know, I am not in the leadership position, and I don't know what is going on that conversation, if there is that conversation, but we are in the position, if voters get the opportunity to vote on this, then we're back in the position of working on the other legislation.
And obviously with folks going different places, if it comes to that and you, as Republicans in both chambers, do come back, there could be an additional delay just depending on how far away some folks have gone and what method of transportation, et cetera.
Yeah, that's certainly true. But when, like we talked about, there's only one more member to get a quorum on the House and one more member to get a quorum on the Senate side, I'm sure that could happen within a matter of hours. And things could be restarted as people make their way back to the building. I think probably within a 10-hour period of time, most of us would be back in the building.
And do you think then, and maybe because this is such a fluid situation, it's hard to tell, but do you have any sense as to whether the Democrats are going to go along with ultimately putting cap and trade on the ballot to get the Republicans back?
I think it depends on where the pressure comes from their constituents, whether their constituents believe that denying Oregonians a vote on cap and trade by not allowing this to be even sent to the ballot or not being referred to the ballot. I think if they believe that their constituents or their side of the aisle, the public is firmly behind, this is the right decision, then they'll stay with that. I think if they come to the conclusion that we have come to, that Oregonians just really want to say in this major policy, you know, as a healthcare provider, trying to make an analogy, maybe it won't fit here, but we have about $500 million in taxes that come in through our tobacco retail and our tobacco tax. Now, the idea is to offset healthcare with that, yet we only spend 1.5% of that on getting people to quit using tobacco products through education and cessation. The cap and trade bill, in my opinion, you know, this might be a stretch for people not in the healthcare industry to get to, but the cap and trade bill is revenue raising, meaning that it's going to cost people, particularly on the lower income, a significant more amount of their money to raise this $700 million plus. And all it does is it charges people to do their daily lives. It does not consider an Oregon that is carbon neutral. And that's what Republicans have been saying. If this is only revenue raising, like, you know, my argument with the tobacco tax is that's revenue raising, but they're not doing anything to address the healthcare effects of tobacco use through education and cessation. This bill on cap and trade would be revenue raising, yes, but they're not doing anything to get us carbon neutral. And Republicans have put forward ideas of let's talk about a goal for carbon neutrality in Oregon. Let's have Oregon be a leader of, you know, the first state in the U.S. to be the goal of having carbon neutrality. And I think we could have a conversation about that.
State Representative Cedric Caden, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you, sir.
1258, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.